Welcome to another edition of Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. I am your host, Devlin Bishop, and I've got another hour of entertainment for you, hopefully informative, definitely hopefully entertaining. And it's good to be back. I've really been enjoying doing these, and I want to just, before we get to our first topic, I just want to thank all the people who have been taking time listening to this broadcast, and even if you're just listening to, like, one of the segments, you know, anything that interests you, thank you. Time is so precious now. You know, I see people running around and they have so much to do that even if you take just a few minutes, thank you. I appreciate it so much. And thank you for the comments I've been getting. Boy, this has become like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Really good feedback. A lot of people saying that they find my voice soothing, which is great, because I know everybody feels this, but, you know, sometimes when you listen to yourself in a recording, it always feels a little, like, rough, you know. I don't sound like that. You know, I always remember the first time when you're a kid, when you used to, you know, take your tape recorder and you record your voice, and it was almost horrifying to, I don't talk like that. And I'm past that now, but I still, there's a little bit of a twinge when I hear my voice. But thank you for all who said that I'm soothing and I have a great radio voice. That means a lot to me. I've always dreamed of being on a radio station, and it's just great to hear that. And lots of comments about people, like, I like that people are doing, like, household chores or work and have me playing in the background, like I'm some calming voice there, just keeping them company. I don't know, I get a kick out of that. I just think it's great, you know, people ironing their, you know, undies or something, and I'm just there rambling on like I do. But I love the feedback. Keep the comments coming. You can be critical if you want, as I said. I might get a little, you know, teared up if it hurts me too much, but, you know, it's all good, and in the end, I'll make the final decision, but I love hearing good, bad, the ugly comments that you want to send me, but it's been just great hearing from all of you. And I've even had a couple people that have been showing interest that they would like to join me for an hour, and I would love that, because I wanted to do that eventually, to start bringing some people in and talking with them about, you know, different topics that I like to talk about, you know, from social issues to pop culture, you know, movies, just anything we can think of. And I've got some people that are like, yeah, I'd like to come in, you know, very laid back. I'd like to come in and sit with you for a little while and be a part of it. And then I have had some that are quite rambunctious. That's a good word. Rambunctious, that have said, I will do anything. I will do anything to come in to be your guest. So I wouldn't be surprised if you here are guests coming on pretty soon, because I love that I've got some people that are interested in that, because as much as I enjoy hearing my own voice and hearing what I have to say, it would be kind of fun hanging with somebody for an hour and just taking it easy and just, you know, having some nice chill conversation. I apologize whenever I try to be hip or trendy of any kind. Because sometimes I just, even when I say something like chill conversation, I can hear myself cringe because I know I can't pull it off anymore. So I apologize in advance. I don't try to go ultra modern too often, but sometimes I like to throw it in to remind myself that, no, I'm not that old. And then half the time it just reminds me just how old I am. I told you on previous episodes that I have been going through a little bit of a hard time. It's been a little bit of everything, but I've just been in a dark place that I haven't been in since I was probably in my 20s, so we're going back a couple of decades. I didn't think I was possible to get back to that place. Good news is I'm slowly getting out of there, and it's been a struggle, and I know it's going to take some time. I wish I could announce that I'm all the way out, but I know there could still be some bumps in the road, but that's life, and I've come to terms with the fact that I'm a sensitive person, I'm passionate, and I'm going to feel things really hard, so I know that I'm not all ever going to be totally rid of this depression and darkness, I like to call it. But I just haven't felt it to this degree in a long time, and I'm so glad. This radio show is one of the things. But one of the big things that has gotten me out of, or starting me out of this darkness, is the support that I've had from people. Just overwhelming. It's hard not to turn on your Facebook in the morning and see such positive emails, just little, you know, cyber hugs or pokes, and just people reminding you that you mean something to them. It is just phenomenal. And I don't know how I did this in the 20s, in my 20s, when we didn't have like social media. And I'm not saying social media is always positive. In fact, there's the whole negative effect, like we need instant gratification. Oh my God, I put something up. I need a like. And I think we're seeing that with the new generation out. But, you know, to get support has just been phenomenal. And that's pretty much what has helped me on this path. And it's funny because, you know, I have, you know, there's people that I always kind of expect are going to come to my aid. You know, my really closest friends, the people that I just know love me. Then you have the people that, you know, always, you know, remind me, you know, we might not see each other all that much, but I still play a big part of their lives and me to them. And then, you know, you're surprised that some people don't. You know, some people that you thought you were really close to kind of, you know, you find out they're fair weather friends. And, you know, I don't blame them for that. I know, as I said, time is, you know, pretty hard to come by. And some people just don't want to deal with the negative and the darkness. But I've always been a person who's always kind of maybe like a moth to a flame. Whenever I see a friend or an acquaintance that is having a hard time, I take the time to write a little note or maybe call them and say, you want to go for coffee or do you want to take a walk in a park? For me, I love to reach out. I don't want to just be there for the good times. Hey, there's a party. Come on, let's go. You know, if I see they have a death, it's not going to kill me to write a little note to tell somebody I'm thinking of them or if they need anything. And it reminded me of a story about how I remember a guy once asked me, I won't say names, but they said, Devlin, how can you always be such a nice guy? And I've heard the term that I'm a nice guy many, many times. And that is not insulting to me at all, but in no way do I ever present myself as a saint. I have made my share of mistakes, and people get upset with me because I say that I'm damaged goods. And when I say I'm damaged goods, I'm not trying to tell people, you know, I'm worthless or anything like that. I've been through the ringer. I've had some hard times happen like everybody else. And I know I've been damaged. This heart's been broken a couple times, and it's, you know, held together by stitches. I sometimes call it my Frankenstein heart. But you know what? I don't try to say I'm a saint and I'm perfect and everything I do is the right thing, because I know everybody's got a different situation and stuff. But, you know, he asked me, you know, how can you always be a nice guy? You know, you've had all this, people keep hurting you and breaking your heart, and yet you still keep going on. And I can't remember exactly what I said to him, but I want to say that I just said that it's just the way I am. My parents weren't, you know, they weren't masters of parenting in any way. They made a whole pile of mistakes, but somehow they got it through my head that you respect people, you treat people like you want to be treated, and that, you know, honestly, a lot of it I figured out myself. My parents weren't there to teach me it, or they just weren't capable of teaching me that because they were very old school, from a different generation. But even my parents would like do nice things for people, and you know, they may not have seen it come back, but they weren't doing it for that. And when I do nice things for people, I don't expect it to come back. So when I do see it come back, it's nice. So, you know, being a nice person is just, that's just what I do. And then I thought to myself, it's kind of sad that we live in a society where people, or a person, but find it hard to be a nice person. And that kind of makes me think, and it makes me sad a bit, that we kind of live now in a society where we kind of promote villains more than we promote heroes. As in, news will hit with more, you know, they'd rather talk about a serial killer or a terrorist attack rather than hearing about, you know, a fireman saving a kitten from a tree. Or, and I think, you know, we're all so engraced when we hear a good hero story because they are so few and far between. But sadly, they're out there. It's just nobody wants to talk about them. But then I think about it, and even our culture has changed, too. We praise villains more than we do heroes. When I grew up and I saw Star Wars, I thought Darth Vader was the coolest thing. But I always rooted for Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia. They were the characters I wanted to be. I definitely wanted to be R2-D2. And Now, we don't necessarily do that. I see most of the kids go right for the villain action figures, you know, Stormtroopers, Darth Maul, and they want to be those characters, you know? And, you know, we tend to, like, want to glamorize things that are villains. You know, we take darkness and stuff, and we like to make it, you know, like, it's cool. You know, vampires are cool. Werewolves are cool. When I grew up, they were still kind of scary a little bit. Now they become romantic heroes. Now that they become the ones you want to be. And don't get me wrong, I went through my phase where I thought it'd be cool to be a vampire or a werewolf. Well, maybe not a werewolf. That kind of looks like it hurts. But anyhow, it's sad that it's harder to be a nice person. I always say it's easy to be evil. It's easy to be horrible to people. It's easy to ignore people. It's harder to put yourself on the line. And then, you know, when you try to be good to someone, you know, you don't get no thanks. You don't get no credit. And most of the time, I don't want that, or people don't want that. But you see it less and less, and it's almost like, you know, the nice guy, you know, they always say nice guys come in last. And I always thought, you know, nice guys come in last due to the fact that, you know, they're kind of making sure everybody else has gotten through the door, making sure that, you know, everybody's back is being watched. But I sometimes think that maybe that's not what it meant, and I put too much of a positive spin on it. But it's sad that we really don't teach, you know, that being good and nice is a good thing. Now we teach about survival and survival of the fittest. And you know, we should embrace the villains. We need to find out why they're villains. You know, Maleficent, you know, the Sleeping Beauty movie with Angelina Jolie, you know. We couldn't just accept her as just a villain. Now we have to find out exactly what made her a villain. And, you know, just stuff like that. And I love villains, and I love the dynamic of finding out what makes them tick. But this whole love affair where, you know, kids are now growing up wanting to be the villain, you know, something like, you know, video games with Grand Theft Auto, or, you know, for shooters. Sure, there's a lot of hero ones out there, but there's a lot of ones where the villains take center stage. So you know, I'm not ever trying to say, hey, I'm the nicest guy in the world. I am flawed in so many ways. I've got my little secrets, and just like everyone else. But, you know, when he asked me, how can you be a nice guy? My only real response is, how can I not be a nice guy? It's just in me. And, you know, it's my instinct. I see somebody hurting, and I don't want to walk away. I want to put my hand on their shoulder. I want to hug them. I want to tell them it's going to be all right. And I guess sometimes the world overwhelms me when I see less and less of that in the world. But at the same time, I feel blessed when people reach out for me and tell me it's going to be all right and give me a hug. And so, you know, think about that the next time you see somebody hurting or you're hurting. It's easy to look for the negative, but count your blessings and, you know, don't be afraid to be the nice guy. The hero is a good thing to be. And, you know, the hero doesn't get all the acclamation he normally does or she normally does or gets the love that they deserve. But in the end, there is something. You feel it in your heart. You just feel it in your heart. Anyhow, that's enough of that topic. I'm going to talk about something a little less serious, or real serious, if you're a fan like me. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite TV shows coming up, a little something called The Walking Dead. So please stay tuned. I'm going to take a very short break. I'll be back shortly. I love television shows. When I was younger, I used to try to watch as many of them as I can. As I get older, I just don't have any time. Not to mention, back when I was a kid, you know, we only had like a handful of TV stations, and now everybody seems to be broadcasting, you know, new television shows and everything. And I find that a lot of people, you know, they hear the word critically acclaimed, and people have a checklist of shows they have to watch, and I've never done that before. You know, you see people like, oh, you gotta see Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or House of Cards. And, you know, to me, if it's something that interests me, I'll watch it. I won't just, you know, now that people binge watch and, you know, just go to Netflix or all those other services they have out now, you know, people just, you know, it's like a checklist. Oh, I gotta watch this, I gotta watch this, I gotta watch this. Well, not me, if it doesn't interest me. So shows like Game of Thrones, I'm not saying I'd never watch it, or Breaking Bad, but I don't have to checklist it off. It's just, if I do, I do, if I don't, I don't. But, you know, I watch a lot of shows that have become popular, but I watched them before they were not. Something like Sons of Anarchy, which I watched right from the beginning, and at the beginning it didn't get a lot of, you know, love, and then it just, you know, blew up and became huge. And Bates Motel, Shameless. So lots of shows that just don't get the same kind of love as some of the other ones do. Now, there is another show that's on that list that people are always like, oh, have you watched that? You gotta watch this. And I put it off for the longest time. It's, of course, The Walking Dead. And I'll admit, I had lots of people telling me I should watch it, and my same thing was always, it looks good, it looks interesting, but I'm kind of zombied out. You know, the whole zombie culture that's happening now, I've seen so many zombie movies, past and present, and, you know, when they started getting into, like, zombie Shakespeare and zombie Pride and Prejudice, you know, I was just getting tired of zombies, you know, give me a good vampire story or, you know, something like that. But a couple people kept bugging me, and then finally a friend of mine, Damien, convinced me I should check it out. Now, me and him bonded when we started talking about Spartacus, a show that not a lot of people, you know, it's not as loved in the same as like a Game of Thrones or, you know, The Americans or something. And we bonded on that. So I decided, okay, it's not going to kill me. So I found a site where I could stream it, and I decided I'd watch the pilot episode of The Walking Dead. And I have to say, I'm glad I watched this. I've now officially caught up. I did binge watch, and I'm not the biggest fan of binge watching. I have done it, and I do enjoy it. But I really think we lose something when we binge watch. I think that it's, again, this world seems to gravitate to instant gratification. And it's so great when we can sit there and watch a box set from start to finish and we see a whole season. But I know, I think there's something to be said that when you watch it and then you get a week to process it all before the next week comes. And now I'm watching Walking Dead on a weekly thing, and I think it's a lot. I enjoy it even more because I get to process it and enjoy it and savor what we have and not just go through the episodes. And I'm not dissing binge watching, by all means. If that's your thing, then do it. Get your checklist out and, you know, start going down what, you know, the critics say you should be watching. The Walking Dead is a phenomenal show. I would have to say it's probably one of the best shows I have seen. Like, of all time. It's up there. I would say if I had to do top 10 dramas, it would definitely be up there. Not just because there's lots of reasons for it. I think it's just, one, a fabulous story with great characters. I think it's interesting to put yourself in that scenario. You know, the zombie apocalypse that happens and how you would do in it. Because it is interesting. And to see these characters fight. And they've, you know, I'm not going to try to give too many spoilers away because I don't like that. But you never know who's going to get offed. You know, there might be a handful of characters that you're pretty certain will make it to the end. But they have surprised me quite often on characters dying, and they've blown me away several times. I also think not only is it well written, that it is also just beautifully filmed. There is some very artful shots. You know, the zombies look scary, and they look absolutely decrepit. But there are also shots that are so artistic, and the way they put the zombies through things and the situations they put people in, it's amazing how many times they come up with just new ways to have zombies attack. I think of scenes like, you know, when they're in a car and they try to back up and wind up kind of almost like going on the zombies as a ramp. And, you know, and just, you know, as the wheels turn, you're seeing, you know, the zombies' body parts flying away. Or there was another one where the zombies were on the second floor and they just came through the roof. And it's like literally raining zombies. And I just love how they keep coming up with new storylines in that. And it just, as I said, it's artistic looking as well. Like, I know it's based on a comic book. And, I've never read the comic book, so I don't know if the comic is artistic as it is. But I sometimes like, you know, my gore having a bit of artistic flair to it, or when I see something that's really disturbing, but it's still kind of pleasing to the eye, if that makes any sense. The Walking Dead, of course, I have my favorite characters. I love Rick, you know, he's kind of the voice of reason, but I love that that character can also be a little too righteous sometimes. I love that he can be a little fall off the tracks a few times, because in this world of chaos where they're slowly getting further and further away of normal society, of course you would, you know, fall off the rails a little bit. You know, I like Daryl Dixon too. He's kind of like the fan favorite, you know. Awesome character. I know some of the comic book fans think he's kind of been a problem because he becomes more popular with every season, and I don't believe he's in the comics. And I think they kind of use him sometimes to fill voids that were fill storylines that were for other things. But I what I like about Daryl is he kind of sets the pace. You know, he kind of gives that redneck hotness happening. And I think there's better rednecks on other TV shows, but I still don't think we've seen Daryl's full potential. I think they play him so keeping his cards close to his vest that he, I still think we have a long ways to go with Daryl, and I'm okay with that. I think he's a great character, and I look forward to seeing them. I know there's always talk that, oh, they might make him gay. And I know they're kind of flirting with it in season 5. Like, flirting with it, I mean, is they've just brought on some gay characters, and Daryl seems to be befriending them. I don't know if I personally think they'll go that way. I don't know if it'll serve a good purpose. They've had, like, lesbians on, but they really didn't do much with them. And, now that they've got these gay characters, I'm hoping they'll do something. But what I love about it is that they're all survivors, you know. It's almost hard to, like, deal with that part of your life now, because it's just such a small subnote, because you're trying to survive zombies and starvation and, you know, other humans trying to kill you. So I think it'd have to be written real good if Daryl did come out as gay, because it's not like it's a coming-of-age story, you know. It would just have to be matter-of-fact, and, you know, I don't necessarily think it's needed. But, you know, I have confidence in the writers. I haven't agreed with all their stories, but they seem to know exactly what to do, and so I put my faith in them. Lots of great characters to talk about. My favorite character is the same as my friend Damien's, Shane. I'll just say he's not around anymore. I don't want to give it away if there's people out there who still want to watch it. But, I liked him because of the fact that he kind of was edgy, but I really agreed with a lot of the stuff he did. He just didn't go about doing it the way he probably should have. And I kind of miss that they almost have a character like that anymore, because of the fact that he was such a, almost like a pressure cooker waiting to go off, a time bomb waiting to go off, and you just didn't know if he would or if he would. And I don't think they have that anymore. But, you know, he's a great character. The last character I want to talk about, there's just so many, I could talk for hours about this show, but Carol is just, quite frankly, one of the best female characters I've ever seen on a show. You know, she started her journey as, you know, an abused wife who was in a really bad situation, but she was a real mom, and she took care of her daughter, and she's kind of meek but strong, as in she didn't really have a voice because her husband was just very abusive. And, but she still had a strength, you could tell. And to see her over the last 5 years, and I'm not saying Carol has made all the right decisions, she hasn't, but she has just become such a powerful character that I think she is one of the strongest women characters I've seen written in a show. She's, you know, she embodies so much, and the fact that, you know, she can kick ass. She's an older lady, and, you know, she never, you know, they never play her up to that. She's just, you know, all strength, and, you know, she's there. And she, you know, doesn't come off as righteous. She just does what she has to do. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal character. As I said, The Walking Dead, I love the writing. I love the artistry of it. I know a lot of people are comic book lovers, and, you know, you're going to hear me talk about this a lot if you listen on a regular basis. They complain that the show is nothing like the comic book. From what I've heard, the comic book is really graphic. Lots of vicious deaths, and I think there's a lot of rape and lots of darkness in it. And I am a strong believer that once you switch to a media, you have to take that media in consideration. Like when people say, oh, it was not as good as the book. You know, the movie was not as good as the book. You know, I say, you know what, they're two different mediums. Sometimes a book cannot translate to a good movie unless you make changes. And sometimes, you know, sometimes a movie can be better than the book. But it's all about opinion. And, you know, Walking Dead's the same way. I don't know if I could watch it if it was as over the top as it sounds like in the comic. Like, I'm still entertained by The Walking Dead. But if I started seeing that just people are dying and for the sake of dying and, you know, just, you know, abused and raped and, you know, I don't know if I'd find that endearing. The thing that gets me with The Walking Dead is that there's always a sense of hope in it still. Because, you know, every season they seem to go through kind of different stages, you know. They'll have a good season where they'll find a place that they can call home for a little while. Then the next season, they're thrown away from that and they keep searching. But there always seems to be moments of hope. And yes, as it goes on, they have less and less chance. But I love that there's still a feeling of hope with this show. And quite frankly, you know, that's one thing I absolutely love about it. You know, the writing's always been pretty steady. I do prefer characters from the past, the first three seasons, compared to the characters I'm seeing now in season five. It sounds awful, but they have a lot of characters right now that I don't think they've developed. I'm hoping they will. As I said, I put a lot of faith in that they will, because right now, to me, they're just food. They're just like, the more characters we can add, we can kill them off, and then we can keep, you know, Rick, Carl, and, you know, Daryl, Carol safe. You know, maybe even Maggie and Glenn might die at some point. But, you know, that's the problem. When you get to a show, you start worrying about your favorite characters and stuff, and... you know, I understand when people are concerned a little bit that Rick or Daryl might not die because of they're just popular. Or Carl, because he's a kid. But I'd like to throw another one in there. Carl's sister and Rick's daughter, Judith. I kind of hope she makes it. Little Ass Kicker is what they nickname her. Because, you know, she was, as far as we know, one of the only babies on the show that was born after the zombie apocalypse hit, and I think it'd just be wonderful that she kind of makes it through. And that's just me. But again, it's all about hope, and she kind of gives hope for the future. And it would be lovely to, you know, see one day maybe she lives to the end of this series, and in the future we see what happens when they rebuild, and Judith just happens to be there. But you know what? You never know what could happen. Season 5, Season 6, they could throw us for a loop, because they've certainly done it in the past. But you know, if you haven't watched this show and you've been putting it off, I think you should check it out. As I said, I binged watched the show and I absolutely really enjoyed it. But then I went out and bought the DVDs and started rewatching it, and I think I got an even bigger appreciation because now I was watching them at a, I was really, really watching them, and I saw a lot more that they do, and I just think this show is powerful, and I can see why it has such a fan following, and I really hope the zombies don't win. But I know there's probably a lot of people hoping that, you know, the final scene of this show will be the zombies taking down the last human in the group. But I personally, I don't know if I'd like that or not. I'd like it to end on a positive note. That being said, I hope it doesn't end for a couple seasons because I still think they have a lot to bring to the table. Anyhow, that's The Walking Dead. You can pick it up on DVD or, you know, find a place that streams it. I'm sure it's on one of the streaming sites out there. It's a great show, and check it out if you haven't already. Anyhow, I'm going to take a short break, and then I'm going to talk about music and feeling a little bit old. I'll be right back.
Touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it for me.
Absolutely love music. I've had music in my life all my life, and you know, just as a kid, we always had music playing around the house. I had two older brothers, Ernie and Paul, and you know, as a kid, you never really, you know, when you have two older brothers and parents, you never got a lot of say of what they played until you got older, so you listened to everything they did. My brother Ernie liked everything from doo-wop 50s to the twangy country of the 70s and 60s, Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings. My brother liked pop and rock and top 40, and so I got a lot of that. And from my parents, I just, you know, picked up. My mother used to love listening to, like, Bobby Vinton and Tom Jones, and, well, she did have a love for YMCA by the Village People, but In the Navy by the Village People. It was her house cleaning song. She loved to just crank it up and love it. And my dad just liked, you know, the old big band sounds, Doris Day and Frank Sinatra and lots of Glenn Miller and stuff. And So I got to listen to a little bit of everything, and then along the way I picked up my own music and stuff like that. And I always have music on me. I always have like an MP3. I usually have a speaker with me. You'll probably always find headphones on me. And I just love all different kinds of music. And somebody will introduce me to music, and then I'll go out and try to find more of it. So along the way, on top of everything, you know, I've picked up, you know, modern country, jazz, some heavy metal, a little bit of punk. Just anything, really. But when people ask me, I tell them I'm a fan of pop music through the decades. From, you know, the 40s of the big band to, you know, disco to, you know, 50s and 60s. I just love top 40 radio. And I used to love, as a kid, listening to the radio. But, and again, you know, I listened to CQOC, and CQOC, the top 40, was filled with just a variety of music. You'd hear Michael Jackson, and then you'd hear AC/DC, and then you might hear, you know, Kenny Rogers or some ABBA or stuff. It was just a mixed blend. And growing up, we never really separated. It was just called top 40, and so that's why I never really realized I was getting a taste of a little bit of everything. And I love that. And I love when I hear, you know, younger people who get into various different kinds of music. Of course, when you get older, you start, you know, getting your own collection, whether it's CD or you get it on, you know, MP3 now and keep it on your computer or your phones. And so, you know, I just put the shuffle on and I get the music mix that, you know, you want. But every once in a while, I like to turn on the radio, and, you know, I know radio stations aren't exactly loved as they once were, but they're still out there, and, you know, they may be on the verge of extinction, but I'm glad they're still there, because they're good, handy. And, you know, it's usually when the springtime comes, Mike and I tend to like to listen to, you know, oldies, 50s and 60s music, you know, Beach Boys, Beatles, you know, that kind of stuff's really great. You know, it's fresh, and it just kind of reminds you of the spring, you know, that the snow is finally melting, and the sun is coming out a little bit more often. And so I decided to put on the oldie station because, you know, I just, yeah, my shuffle's great, but it's nice to hear stuff. Not to mention, you might hear something that, you know, oh, I haven't heard that in ages. And then, you know, I usually go and try to buy it, you know, on PureTrax or iTunes. Or if it's really rare, I go make an MP3 of it on YouTube. So, you know, I'm listening to the oldies station and, you know, I'm getting into it. And, you know, I remember when oldies, CKOC eventually became Oldies 1150. And, you know, they concentrated on 50s and 60s music. And then a couple of years ago, you know, maybe even like a decade ago, I noticed that they started creeping into the 70s, which was still kind of cool because, you know, suddenly you'd hear More Than a Feeling by Boston or, you know, some Elton John from the early days and stuff. And that was cool because that was, you know, I was a little kid when all that stuff came out, and I remember my brother playing it. And, you know, it still, you know, brings back memories and oldies and stuff. And then, you know, I listened for a little while and, you know, I'm puttering around the house and the music's on and I'm enjoying, you know, going down memory lane. And then, you know, I'm singing along to pretty much everything, even songs that weren't my era. You know, I can still sing to, you know, Build Me a Buttercup and, you know, You Keep Me Hanging On by the Supremes, you know, whatever's going on. And then, you know, I'm getting into what I'm doing, so the music just kind of comes in and out and on, and then I just find myself singing, and one minute I'm just all of a sudden, you know, what's love got to do with it? What's love when the secondhand what the hell is Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do with It being on the Oldies channel? Yeah. Then I listened some more, and Wouldn't It Be Good by Nick Kershaw came on. And then Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves. And I thought to myself, oh my God, they're starting to play a lot of 80s on the Oldies channel. And I started having a little bit of heart palpitation because, wait a minute. You know, when I was a kid, my parents would listen to oldies stations, and it was like Beatles, Rolling Stones. Now I'm starting to hear my teen years growing up on an oldies station, and I wasn't ready. I'm not prepared for that. They say that the music, now this is just something I read, they say that the music that is your generation is from when you're the age of 12 to the age of 20, which for me puts me around the 80s. That's your teen years, and that's the years you will listen to the radio probably more than anything. You will listen to more music at that time. That's what I remember reading. I'm not saying it's scientific, I'm not saying it's fact, but that's what I heard. So I suddenly was taking offense to this. You know, Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran was not an oldie. But then I did the math and realized, yes, a lot of those early 80s songs are celebrating 30 years, and I am not as young as I want to believe I am. Now, I have great days where I wake up and I just feel like I'm a 19-year-old ready to take on that world. In fact, I'm lucky to say that most days I always feel way younger than I am. Then, of course, there's days when you may have had a rough day at work and your back's killing you and you're feeling aches in places you didn't know and you're starting to feel your age and you're like, no, this is just not happening. And to hear that the 80s have become almost dominant in these oldies stations now really freaked me out. I remember when they used to do 80s weekends on like Much Music and stuff, where they play all these 80s videos. And if you were a child of the 80s, majority, I'm not saying all, but majority of the people grew up putting on Much Music or Toronto Rocks and watching those classic cheesy videos. I still watch them on YouTube. And they still make videos, but in the 80s, it was like that was what you did. You watched videos, you know. It was such, you know, you'd have friends come over and you'd watch videos and you'd be like, oh, wow, a new Madonna video, or, oh, Peter Gabriel, that Sledgehammer video is awesome, or, oh, did you see Thriller last night? That was amazing. And what happened is that, you know, videos didn't become as important anymore, but you could still see them. You can still see videos for the majority of the stuff that's released. But it's not as a big social thing as it used to be. And in the 80s is when videos really peaked. Videos actually predate the 80s, but in the 80s, they really became an art form. Whether it's a cheesy art form or not is nobody's take. But so anyhow, I remember Much Music used to play 80s Weekend. And I wasn't a real big fan of that. I liked it because it's like, oh, I'm going to see all these great 80s videos. But I knew they were larking at the fact that this is for a somewhat older audience. But then I realized that the 80s weekends were getting replaced by 90s weekends, and I'm like, wait a minute, when did the 90s become retro? And, you know, people would start, you know, playing 90s stuff. You know, we were living La Vida Loca again. We were listening to Nirvana, and, I'm blue, I'm beating the man, you know, and suddenly 90s became retro. So I kind of got a little bit of heart palpitations because I always, even growing up as a kid, when I listened to oldies stations with my parents, I'd see how they'd have fond memories and, oh, remember this one. And I always thought oldies is for, you know, old people listen to this. And when I started hearing the 80s dominating, it's bad enough we had radio stations that, you know, like, vinyl and stuff that were, you know, Boom and Kapow. I don't know what they were. They had all these weird things that were the best of the 80s and 90s, you know. But they never said old. they never, it was still like, oh, this is my generation kind of thing. But now, you know, they don't play as much 50s and 60s. And I remember they used to, I want to remember the name, but they used to do a station out of Toronto. It was like AM 750 or 760. Anyhow, they used to play Frank Sinatra and big band and stuff. And I like to put it on every once in a while just because it was different. You know, all the other stations were playing, you know, the same stuff, country and thing. And then I noticed they started dying away. And then I realized that the reason that these stations were slowly going away is because less and less people were listening to them. Not just because they're getting older and dying, which is not a happy thought, but because, you know, when you get older, you just, you know, want to put on your own CD or, you know, put your MP3 player on or, you know, just put on the TV or something. And, you know, I know a lot of older people that would turn on the radio in the morning and have a nice cup of coffee, but it was like as the viewership was going older, you know, they started dying down. And so now to hear oldies stations that are slowly, 50s is pretty much on the verge of vanishing. And I think the 60s might hold on a little longer because it was like an inventive, you know, we got the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Motown and all that kind of stuff. So I think that might hold on. But even then, it's like they're slowly dying away too. And it freaks me out because that means in a decade or two, 80s is going to really start subsiding. And, you know, I came to terms with the fact that they always talk about in the media, like the ratings and the social demographic that they want. You know, they're catering to a certain demographic. And that demographic is usually 18 to 35. And I remember when I turned 40, I thought to myself, wow, they won't be catering to me anymore. Though I'm not quite certain they ever really did. that's just me being a little bit quirky and unique. But I thought to myself, wow, I'm growing older. And yeah, this kind of stuff is going to happen. And am I ready to grow older? Well, you know what? I kind of like some of the stuff growing older. Like, I like being able to look back and seeing that there's a life progressing. Like, when I was a kid, there was so much uncertainty. And I'm not saying there's no uncertainty at my age now, 47. I'm just saying that there's not as much uncertainty because you've seen how much you've survived. You've seen how much you've lived. You've seen how much of your life that you have, the people who've come in and stayed with you and the people that come in and left. And so there is a little uncertainty there, but it's not as much as when you're younger. So then when you find yourself giving advice to younger people and stuff, you know, you can actually say, yeah, because I went through that. I dealt with that. So, yeah, it was a real eye-opener to find out that, oh my God, oldies are 80s now, and pretty soon, if not already, Blind Melon's No Rain is going to play on there, and, you know, Kiss People, Sixpence None the Richer, and pretty soon the 90s, and they're going to start shoving out the 70s, and it's a vicious domino effect. But it's just the way it is, I guess. We all grow up, and am I ready for it? I like to think I am. You know, we focus a lot on, are we going to be ready for our retirement? Will we have saved enough money? Well, that's good to think about too, and scary. But nobody tells you, are you ready to start seeing things disappear from your past? Like, you know, your radio stations aren't going to be catering to you as much. Or, you know, you're going to start seeing friends pass away. Or people you grew up with as a child. You know, Leonard Nimoy just passed away. And, you know, that was mind-blowing because, you know, I know as we go on, we're going to start seeing more and more celebrities that maybe I know more of my own generation that are going to start disappearing. And I don't think we're ever ready for it, but I don't think it is as scary as I once thought. You know, you do have the initial heart palpitations, but I don't know, there is a side of me that's looking forward to some things being old. And, you know, that's one of the things about doing this podcast is that I can talk about it. And I think sometimes when we talk about things, the less scary things are. It's kind of when you hold things in and you keep them in. And then every once in a while, you know, you can sit with a good friend and talk about this kind of stuff and realize, yeah, they're going through it too. So, yeah, I'm just going to have to make sure I have all my 80s music and ready on my shuffle when I want to listen to them, because apparently I won't be hearing it on the radio for much, much longer. Okay, 80s will last for a little bit still. But, you know what I'm saying. Anyhow, I had another great broadcast. It was a lot of fun to talk to you. I hope you enjoyed it. If there's any topics you want me to talk about, feel free to throw them my way. I won't talk about things that I'm not authority of. You won't hear a lot of sports on here because I just don't follow sports. But, you know, there's, you know, a hot listener that wants to talk about sports. I'd certainly sit with them and nod a lot. Okay, see, I'm not that old. I'm still flirty and full of life. So, anyhow, don't forget to leave your comments to me, good or bad. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to me. I'll have more great topics to talk in the future. And don't forget, we may have guests sooner than you think. That's all I'm saying. I won't promote anything in case, you know, it doesn't happen, but I think you'll be hearing somebody sitting next to me very, very soon. Anyhow, I had a great time. I hope you did too. I'll talk to you real soon.
Your kisses make me blue if I'm a river. Oh.